Welcome to Long Live Bat Art, the podcast for art lovers who don't see art as much as they want to. My name is Sydney, and thank you for taking this slow tour through an art gallery with a casual art lover. Today, I'll be talking about The Holy Family with Shepherds by Jacob Jordaens. I hope you enjoy. Jacob Jordaens was born in May of 1593 in Antwerp. He was the son of a linen merchant and firstborn of 11. His father was wealthy, so Jordaens likely received the benefit of exceedingly thorough schooling. He was fluent in French and knew mythology and the Bible. Jordaens didn't make a studious trip to Italy, but he did study Italian painters such as Caravaggio and Titian. And he also drew from his own country via Peter Bruegel the Elder. You might recognize that name from episode 3. Jordaens was an artist of many mediums, including painting and tapestry making. His main patrons were churches and wealthy people, but late in his career he got some royal commissions. He was taught by the same man who taught Rubens, Adam van Noort. Jordaens was admitted as a master to the St. Luke's Guild in his hometown in 1616, and married Van Noort's daughter, Katerina, in that same year. Jordaens was known for his scenes with crowds of boisterous and healthy people in them, and warm, glowing colors. He also painted more allegorical pieces, based on Flemish sayings, such as the old sing, so pipe the young, which more or less means that bad influence from the older generations leads to bad decisions in the younger. Later on in his life, as Jordaens' health deteriorated, his paintings lost their vitality as well, defaulting to cooler and duller colors. Jordaens also assisted Rubens on a few occasions, including on a project for Cardinal Infante Ferdinando and one for Philip IV's hunting camp cabin. Jordaens even completed some artworks Rubens left unfinished before his death. After Rubens and Anthony van Dyck died, Jordaens was largely considered the best Flemish Baroque painter of that time. Jordaens' way of representing peasantry influenced Jan Steen, who we covered in the second episode. Jordaens died in October 1678. 197 of his paintings survive. On to the painting. The painting depicts the Virgin Mary, baby Jesus, and three men. Strangely, the three men are most likely the shepherds who brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Joseph is nowhere to be found. The Virgin Mary is depicted like no other depiction of her I've ever seen. She has her usual blue veil and pale pink under veil and white clothes, yes, but she has one breast exposed. It's to feed her child. I've never seen any depiction that shows Mary as not the mother of God, but just a mother. She's holding her exposed left breast between her fingers to steady her nipple for Jesus. Jesus himself is leaning towards the offered breast, his hands clasped in front of him in a prayer position. Jesus is also depicted in a very human way. He's a chubby baby with fat rolls on his stomach and chunky legs. He has either very fine hair or no hair at all. The shadows on his legs and the deepest shadow along his back are blue-toned. The shepherd on the right of the image is holding a short lit candle and a bowl of what looks like porridge or similar food. The candle's glow is much stronger than what an actual candle's would be. Even though it's level with Mary's breasts and Jesus' head, its light reaches Mary's face and down to her lap. Jesus is fully illuminated and his mother almost fully. That shepherd is wearing a blue robe. His much darker and less vibrant than Mary's signature veil. He's looking at Jesus fondly and reverently. He has a wiry, long brown beard and bushy mustache connected to it. The second shepherd is behind Mary, and he's either starting a small fire or just warming his hands over the glowing coals. He looks to be the youngest of the shepherds. He still has roundness in his face. His clothes are difficult to make out because the background is so dark, but he too is looking at Jesus and Mary. His expression is almost eager and definitely happy. The third and final shepherd is seen in profile. He's holding his crook and has a hat of what looks like straw. He has soft, light brown or even blonde hair and is looking at Jesus with his head tilted. He has a gentle expression on his face that looks like a combination of awe and fondness. He's wearing a deep red robe. The skin of all the figures, with the exception of the second shepherd because he is illuminated by the light thrown by the red hot coals, is pale and rosy in the cheeks. Mary and Jesus even have rosiness in their chins. Now for my thoughts. The painting is gorgeous, but leaving Joseph out is an odd statement. He's as important to Jesus as Mary is. Joseph is his human father, but I choose to believe he just got off a shift of baby watching and is taking a much needed and well-deserved nap on some hay. The candle must be super powered because of its reach, and I know most of that is just practical. Most artists like to have a strong light source, though not many use a candle or other visible one. It's like the Lord of the Rings joke from the director. Where's the light coming from in the night scenes? The same place as the soundtrack. The skin, especially Jesus's, is fascinating to me. Jesus is shown like any other baby, with the fat and rolls and lack of hair. His skin is so lifelike. It's also refreshing to see a depiction of the shepherds after they gave their gifts. They didn't just give them and peace out. They stayed, helping the couple who was probably exhausted and scared out of their minds. All first parents are, even without the whole Son of God responsibility. They now have a completely helpless new human being that is dependent on them for everything, even holding up his head when he's held. The approachability in this scene is what most likely drew me in. It just reminds me of something that's sometimes hard to remember, that Jesus was human as well as divine. This very human moment before he eats is as approachable as I've ever seen Jesus. He isn't an adult with followers, he's a baby with his mother. As a Roman Catholic, it's always been something hard to wrap my brain around, that Jesus was both completely human and completely divine. Nothing can be 200% of anything, but it's what the church teaches. Maybe it's just something people say without believing or even understanding. But that's kind of the point of religion, isn't it? To try to understand the mysterious, to try to know the unknowable. At least that's what it means to me. Whenever there's an aspect to my faith, or even my life, I don't understand, I tell myself a simple truth. It's okay. It's okay for me to not understand the entirety of the human experience. It's okay for me to not understand a single part of my schooling or a tough math problem. But you know what's not okay? To dismiss that experience as being unimportant or even wrong. Just because it's not relevant to you doesn't mean that it's not relevant. There are people who depend on something you've never heard of, and pretending that thing doesn't exist or saying that you don't understand, so why bother trying, is a slippery slope to believing that only your experience in life is right. And that's not a good position to have in life. Other people exist, and especially people who you won't understand. But unless they're actively hurting someone or believing they should die, that's okay. Not understanding isn't wrong. Actively denying the existence of someone or something, however, is wrong. My challenge to you is this. Try to find one fact about something you've never heard of. You can click around on the internet or open a random book in the library. When you do that, try to apply that fact to your everyday life. It could be a cool fact about geckos, so you share it with your loved ones. It could be a belief in a religion you've never experienced, so try to embody that belief, as long as it's not hurting someone. When you broaden your horizons, you start to see that there's more to life than your experiences. That there's a whole world full of things to learn, places to explore, people to meet, and experiences to try. So learn, explore, meet, and try. The world is waiting for you. If you like this episode of Long Live Bat Art, please consider telling a friend and reviewing to help the podcast grow. A link to the transcript of this episode is available in the show notes below. And you can follow me on Twitter at @LongLiveBatArt and Tumblr at tumblr.com/LongLiveBatArt. That's Long Live B-A-T Art. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.